You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jake Owen, and this is Good Company.
We in good company.
Welcome to Good Company, yeah. A podcast where we talk about everything under the sun. Friends, good times, and life.
We in good company.
Now, here's your host, Jake.
What's up, everybody? It's Jake here on Good Company with the Good Company podcast, where we talk to all kinds of folks, from family members to friends to people that have influenced me throughout my life. And with this being the first podcast that I've ever put out under Good Company with Jake, I thought there's no better person to intro you all to than my best friend, Jared, who is my twin brother. We were born on August 28th, 1981. We're 36 years old, for those of you guys doing math. And we just had a birthday. And Jared lives back in our hometown of Vero Beach, Florida, where we grew up. And I luckily got Jared to take some time out of his day today to give me a call, because he can't be here in Nashville with me. So, J-Rod, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing? Glad to be here.
I'm glad you are, too, man. There's no better way or person to start with on my podcast than to intro the world to the guy that not only, like I said, is my best buddy, but someone that I think about every day, and we live completely separate lives, which is kind of interesting with us, the way we grew up together, basically living a lot of the same life, you know, under the same roof, sharing a bedroom and arguing with each other. You know, you're on one side of the room in your bed at night, and I'm on my side of the room, and Dad's coming in yelling at us because we weren't going to sleep. So I just wanted to kind of chat with you today, man, and talk to you about your life and my life and everything, and see how it's all going. So is that cool with you?
Good by me.
So if you don't mind, Jared, you know, why don't you tell everybody what you do down in Vero and what you're doing these days down there. You know, Jared sells insurance, so I'll let you explain, Jared, what your gig is down there in Vero.
Well, it's been a rough couple weeks, not only for me, but for a lot of other people in the entire state of Florida with the hurricanes that have come in. So my life has been a little hectic, as many of others. So it's been a couple weeks of clean up and just restoring everything, getting everyone's lifestyles back to normal. So it's been pretty hectic down here. I you know, obviously have been running crazy the last couple weeks, and my county, my city is recovering well. Everybody's safe, and you know, just hope the rest of the state survives and gets back on their feet and back to reality. So that's the last 2 weeks. But yeah, as you mentioned, yeah, we live separate lives. You're on the road all the time. I'm in Southeast Florida all the time. And, you know, I know we don't get to see each other as much as we always want to, but I think that we usually try to make the most of the opportunity when you do have time off to get away and get together and do anything fun that we've normally done for the last 36 years.
36 years, man. Can you believe that? Can you believe when you say 36 that we're 36 years old?
You said, you know, we grew
up. Dude, that's 18. Check this out. How about you think about it this way? We graduated high school. We were 18 years old, buddy. We've been out of high school for 18 years.
I know. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe.
That is hard to believe. So Jared was the most badass athlete growing up in our hometown. We were really lucky to grow up in a town of Vero Beach, Florida, where Jared was just speaking of. You know, we've been affected recently with the hurricanes. Not as bad as folks down in the Keys, over on the West Coast or on the Gulf Coast, Fort Myers area, Naples, all the way up, believe it or not, up to Jacksonville. They got a lot of flooding, but we were pretty lucky there in Vero, even though Jared has had his hands full with a lot of, I'm sure, insurance claims and things come through with due to wind damage. But our hometown of Vero Beach has thankfully done well. But with us growing up down there, it's a small town. It's a coastal town with you've got the mainland separated by the river, and then you have the barrier island. And then obviously on the east side of the barrier island, you have the Atlantic Ocean. So, Jared, for those out there that are listening that want to know about our lives, in your best way, how would you describe us growing up as kids and being twins and growing up in the town of Vero Beach?
Well, I mean, Vero's a small town, like you said, quaint coastal town, real safe, a lot of close networks. And with that being said, we had close bond with really the same friends growing up. We had best friends from Ryan Capellan to Robert Kowalczyk to Marty Fish. And those guys were not only my friends, but Jake's friends. And we all still communicate every day, every week on a regular basis. Some of which are still here in Vero. Some have moved to California. Some moved to Nashville. So it's pretty cool that we stayed tight-knit, you know, riding our bikes around as kids, playing football in the park as kids, playing team sports. And it's pretty cool that after 36 years of knowing each other, you know, Jake can come back to his hometown whenever he's free. I still live here, and vice versa for the other guys. Everybody can kind of reconnect and be friends again. And, you know, Jake and I used to do everything as not only twins, but we were like best friends. We were the same age, same classes, you know, same schools. And he described it earlier as we were in the same household, in the same bedroom, and Dad used to walk in and want to kill us at night. You know, it's not twin brothers. It reminds me of the movie Step Brothers, because that's exactly what was happening in the bedroom.
Don't you touch my drum set. Don't touch my drum set.
Beat you with a pillowcase full of bars of soap.
Oh, my God. Well, Jared was just talking about our friends Marty Fish and Ryan Capellan, Robert Kowalczyk. These are all guys that, you know, we all, when you grow up in a small town, you tend to have your group of friends that you hang with, and it's really interesting to me how all of our lives have kind of panned out, you know, going along with you, Jared. As I was mentioning earlier, Jared was an amazing athlete, still is, growing up. Jared, you played a lot of tennis growing up, because I think one of the reasons we got into the sport of tennis growing up as kids was our best buddy Marty Fish was just born and bred to play tennis. His dad was the tennis pro. Tom Fish was our tennis pro at our local tennis center there in Vero and at Riamar at the time, and then he moved up to Windsor. But him being a teacher and having Marty be as great as he was naturally at tennis, I think us all being friends, it kind of sparked our interest into playing tennis as a kid. And Jared was very picked up tennis pretty easily, to the point where he and Marty and Robert became the three tough guys to beat, not just in Vero Beach, Florida, but in the entire state of Florida. Jared, do you remember what was it? I mean, in juniors, mom and dad driving you all over the state, what was your highest ranking in junior Florida tennis?
Well, actually, at one point, the three of us, Marty, myself, and Robert, at different times, in different years. At one point, we all were number one in the state of Florida individually. So that's a pretty big honor for three kids coming from small town Vero Beach.
Well, Jared, to your surprise, buddy, I just dialed up Marty. I got Marty on the phone right now. I just heard Marty say, Jared's on here? Hey, Marty, J-Rod's on the phone.
J-Rod is on the phone?
Boy.
Hey, how about that Luke Combs song?
What song are you talking about?
That Luke Combs song, the one that I keep texting Jared lines of the song. It's so good. What's it called? On I-65, and I want $100 on the scratch. That one.
You like Luke Combs, Marty?
Oh, my God. I just downloaded his album. Thing's awesome.
Yeah, that's so cool. So, Marty, to fill you in really quickly, this is my first podcast. It's called Good Company with Jake. And it's really about...
Yeah, what are we doing right now?
Caught you off guard. So I got Jared on the phone. We've already talked for a few minutes. And really, this with it being my first podcast, I wanted to introduce the world to who I am and why I am the person I am. And I think there was no better way than starting off with introing people to the way I grew up. And I started with Jared telling about our small town. We started talking about Vero. And we led to one of the reasons, you know, Jared being a great athlete, but growing up playing tennis, one of the main reasons we started even playing tennis is because of our friendship with you, Marty, and your dad, Tom, really having the patience at our young age to not only give you everything you needed, but to give us great lessons as kids, not just in the tennis realm, but in lessons on life. And anyway, Jared was just talking about how at one point you, Robert, and himself were all at one point or another, at number one in the state of Florida. So I said, you know what? We need to call up Marty and get a little of this competition talk going on the phone. So,
yeah, that's all good. Yeah, we talk tennis all day long. Listen, Jared was probably the second best athlete in the group, behind yours truly, obviously. But Robert was the worst of all, but he probably worked a little bit harder than Jared did. We were more concerned with...
Wait, do you guys remember that Robert didn't even play tennis really until he realized that you and Jared were pretty good? I was okay. I mean, I did beat Mike Livaday.
You beat Mike Livaday.
Yes. and that was a strong match for me, man. But you know, Robert, I remember Robert.
Biggest win of your career.
It was biggest. That's actually why I retired after my Mike Livaday win. I said tennis isn't even fun for me anymore because.
Yeah, him and BJ Donnelly, you beat them both.
Oh, I did. I took down BJ Donnelly. That was no big deal. But so Jared and I were chatting about how just, you know, I think all of us as kids growing up being competitive and not, you know, that town, you know, making you guys into the great athletes you were. And I kind of ventured off and started playing golf, but I think us being competitors as kids is what's driven us through the rest of our life to continue to be competitors. And no matter where our life has taken us, you know, we were talking with Jared earlier about how he sells insurance. And Marty, if you don't mind, for the people out there, that obviously there's a lot of people that do know who you are. But if you don't mind for just a quick second, if you could kind of brief them on your years.
You mean there's a lot of people that don't know who I am? No. I used to play tennis a long time ago.
Well, let's start back. You started playing. You turned professional at what age?
I was 17. It was after my junior year of high school. I was down in Boca Raton.
When you left, if you remember correctly. Yeah, when did you leave school with us where we were all in the same class?
Probably like half of my junior year of high school I spent with y'all at Vero Beach High School. And then obviously 9th, 10th grade I was there with you guys. And then half of my 11th. And then I went down to Boca for this coach that, you know, was gonna help me with my game and take me further and further. And you know, so I started there and eventually realized that I could, you know, my goal was to be a professional. I wanted to be a professional athlete, and tennis was the one that I excelled at the most. And like you said, my dad pushed me towards, thankfully pushed me towards tennis a little bit more than the others, because I wouldn't have been quite as good. So thank you to him. And then,
well, you were, you know, dude, I got to give it to you though, Marty. And I think Jared will back me up on this. See, not only did we play tennis growing up, how about the days, Marty, where you played on auto supply? You were a pitcher. You were a pitcher on auto supply. You wore yellow jerseys. Jared and I were on what was Charlie Brown's, the Little League team.
Yeah.
And and we had some battles on the baseball field too, man, because Marty, you know, is just a natural athlete. And so they always, of course, they put him at pitcher, even though he threw these like soft floaters right down the middle.
Wasn't Jared the only one that actually took one deep, like, you know, when we were that age? He was the only one over there in that Babe Ruth field over there next to Riverside that was the only one that hit one deep. And I think you claim that you hit one off the
No. Let's stop this right now. Jared never hit a home run, although the one time he had the chance of knocking it out of the park off of Jeff Girard, by the way. Jared hit a line drive that was definitely going out. He already had that like kind of gallop going towards the first base where he was already walking it off, and it hit the power line going across the field and dropped straight down in left field. You got a ground rule double.
I'm not so sure that was going to be a home run. I mean,
Jared, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, where is Jared, by the way? He hasn't even said a word.
Yeah, Jared, say something.
Well, I'm right here. I said I was doing the Kirk Gibson around second base.
I was doing the Kirk Gibson. So, Jared.
They gave me a ground rule double.
Jared and I'll never forget, and this is kind of – this will lead us to, and we'll brief up this next 5 or 6 minutes, but I want to get back to – so Marty, you know, turned professional, and, you know, for Jared and I, you know, we're 15, 16 years old, and our best buddy is now a professional athlete signing contract. You signed a contract with Nike, didn't you, Marty?
Yeah, I signed – you know, when you want to turn pro, you accept the money, obviously, and – I had an agency called IMG that wanted to rep me and be my agent. And then they signed me. They found me deals. So they found me a Nike deal for about $100,000 a year. And they found me a Wilson deal, which was about $50,000 a year. Gave me the opportunity to pay for my
travel and coach
expenses, you know, because it's expensive, you know, traveling around the world. I was ranked basically zero. You turn pro and you're not ranked anything. So, you know, they were giving me the opportunity to take some wild cards into some of the bigger events, the U.S. Open, the Sony, you know, what was then the Lipton back in, you know, down in Miami that we used to go to as kids, you know, getting wild cards into some of those tournaments. So, you know, it just gave me the opportunities. My parents, my dad worked his butt off, but we didn't have millions and millions of dollars, so it couldn't afford to pay for me to go around the world. So it gave me the opportunity to be able to pay for myself, buy a car for myself, and rent an apartment and just kind of go from there, you know.
Yeah, and I think Jared, you can attest to this too, and I'd love to hear your side of it, Jared. But it's pretty cool the way, and I don't know if we've ever told you this, Marty, and we'll tell you thanks now between the two of us, just how cool it was for us as kids to watch you turn professional, even though we were trying as hard as we could to be the best in our sports. I mean, you just had the leg up on a lot of us, and you turned professional, and we got to reap a lot of the benefits of you being professional. You used to come home and load Jared and I and Marty up with Nike tennis shoes and Nike apparel and all these
Nike red shocks.
Yeah,
Nike,
man.
Red shocks. Remember those red shocks?
I do remember those, man. And you were like, you know, like we didn't have anything. We're just like dorky 15, 16 year old kids. And Marty's coming home, taking us for rides in his new BMW and giving us Nike clothes and stuff like that. It was like, dang, man, is this what it's like to have a celebrity friend, man? This is unbelievable. But Jared, looking back on it, man, and all the years that you played and competitively like that, is there a part of you that wishes, I mean, you know, we're all grown-ups now. When you look back on it, I mean, do you think, Jared, was there a time in your life where you feel like you wish you would have worked harder, or do you think you worked as hard as you could and maybe just playing professional tennis wasn't necessarily in the cards? Or what's your thought on that?
No, I mean, Marty will tell you, you know, I had the same passion he had for it, you know, and some people go through things and that other people don't, you know. I know he had some injuries along the way. I had some injuries along the way that ultimately prevented me from really going forward after college. But, you know, that whole ride up and through college, I mean, I competed against Marty, you know, as my best friend. We'd have to play each other all the time. We'd have, like, 3.5-hour matches where our parents were sitting next to each other cringing sometimes in 100-degree weather trying to figure out who was going to win.
Tom and Sally definitely wanted Marty to win. And
of course they did.
And Mitt, and you know Mitts, you know Mitzi, you know Mitzi and Steve were pulling for J-Rod. But at the end of the day, we were all excited to see each one of us become.
Well, look, too, you gotta remember too. I mean, Jared used it as a tool for an education. I mean, you got a scholarship playing tennis. I mean, look, not everybody play. You know, when we're kids, most kids want to be athletes. You know, they want to be professional athletes at something. But I mean, how many actually get to do it? And what a great opportunity to be able to use something like tennis or baseball or golf as a tool for an education. I mean, that's really the goal when we have kids. I mean, Jake, you and I have kids, and you know, for my son, I've got a boy, and for him, you know, look, we all think they're the greatest at what they do, and they're the smartest kids and the best looking kids and all that. But I mean, if he can go and use a sport as a tool for an education, it'd be amazing. And that's what Jared did. And I mean, you can't get lost in that just because, you know, one of his buddies did well. I mean, Robert did the same thing. Jared, that we grew up, Robert Volchik, that he went all the way out to Cal, got a full scholarship, 4-year.
Shout out to Robert. Isn't Robert the only – shout out to Robert Kowalczyk. Shout out to Robert for being, I believe, the only two-time American clay court championship winner.
Yeah. Back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
He was the only back-to-back champion. I don't know if it's done since then.
But guys, didn't Pete Sampras
play that tournament?
Yeah, Marty, that's so good.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Well, hey, let me move this back to me. Let's talk about me for a second, okay? So both of you guys, one of the reasons I wanted you to have you guys both on the phone is because for me in my life, and for folks out there that have been supporting me for a lot of years, you know, musically and professionally, I wanted them to know how much you guys, before I was ever even close to being famous, if that's what you want to call it, how much you both supported me.
Yeah, you're famous. You're famous.
Well,
we'll give it to you.
Okay. Well, I wanted those out there to know that before they ever were on board supporting me, that guys like you, you know, my best buddies, were supporting me. And Jared, we were going to school at Florida State together when I decided that I wasn't going to play golf and hurt my shoulder and started banging around on a guitar in our living room that we lived in. And Marty, you were off winning silver medals in the Olympics, and you were nice enough to take one of my songs that I'd written and put it on your website. So every time somebody went to your website, they'd hear a Jake Owen song, which I believe at the time was a Josh Owen song. And
yeah, well, here's a perfect example too, is that I remember this like it was yesterday, but I don't know if Jared has one of these moments too, but I remember, I'll never forget when I told you that if your first big concert, wherever it is, I'm going to be there. You know, if you're opening up for somebody, I'm going to be there no matter what. And sure enough, here comes Jake Owen playing with Kenny Chesney. And it had to be in Hershey, Pennsylvania, of all places. It couldn't have been like just a straight flight.
Jared showed up for that. Jared showed up for that too.
Jared was there. Yep. And I'll never forget it, man. And we, you know, I came and
you were there with Natalie Gulbis. I remember that.
Hammered, and we'll keep that. Yeah, we'll keep that on the DL.
Who got hammered?
You did after the fact, but
dude,
after the show,
of course I got hammered. It was the first show ever with Kenny Chesney. Have you ever been to a Kenny Chesney show? It's margaritas and rum everywhere.
And we were all there for you. We were all there for you, and it was super cool. And I'll never forget that. I said that was I'm not going to miss that. Whatever, wherever it is, whenever it is. And sure enough, well, it had to be in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I mean, you couldn't do it in like L.A. or New York or something like that. You know?
So, but yeah, Marty lives in L.A., by the way. I don't know if you've shouted that out, but Jared's back in Vero Beach in our hometown. Marty's out in L.A. I'm in Nashville here. We're all connected by phone today. But with all that said and done and how quickly that happened for me and going off, what is it like for you guys? And let's start with you, Jared, if you don't mind. I mean, if you could tell people what it was like when I looked at you in the face at Tallahassee and told you I was going to quit college that Dad had been helping us pay for and going to move to Nashville. We didn't know anyone in Nashville. So what was your first thought, Jared?
Well, I remember like it was yesterday. You told me this story and said that you were packing up your things, putting in a U-Haul, driving to Nashville, and you dropped out of school. And I looked at you and I said, good luck. Wait till you tell Dad that, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and I did.
And literally, without skipping a beat, he's like, well, what's done is done. I'll deal with Mom and Dad, and I'll go from there. And But a few days later, he was packing up a U-Haul and headed to Nashville with no job, no friends, no nothing, just, like, being driven and trying to achieve something. And, you know, he worked as a caddy at a golf club to, you know, earn money.
Do you remember the days of me playing there in Tallahassee at like Parrot's Bar where there'd be nobody there except you and Rodrigo off the tennis team and there'd be two people there?
Well, there would be nobody there if I didn't bring my five friends there.
That's right. That's right.
Dude, I remember going up, there and Yeehaw Junction playing.
That was my band.
Friday nights.
Yeah, Yeehaw
and
Junction.
It was packed.
Heck yeah, dude.
Packed.
We built a following, bro.
Was that Nickel Beer Night?
Nickel Beer Night. That might have been one of the days, too, that when Marty came up to visit, since obviously he's the big star that he self-righteously told you already that he was. Remember, Marty, you had bought a brand-new two-door Mercedes. I think it was an AMG or something like that. And you drove up to meet us in Tallahassee, but you had to fly out last minute to go to New York or something. And you looked at me and you're like, hey, is it cool if I just leave my car here for the weekend and you can, you know, you just take it if you want or whatever. And
you
I'm
didn't
like,
drive it, did you?
No. Why would I drive a car around Tallahassee with a bunch of chicks around there? Why would I drive a brand new Mercedes around and pretend it was mine, Marty? Who would do that?
Wait a minute. You drove that? I thought you left it at the airport.
That's awesome. Nah,
I
man.
Left in it.
Yeah, dude. I had to at least see what it was like, you know, see what it was like to have a nice car.
Sometimes you have to just start those things up, you know, for the battery and stuff. You know, that was smart. I appreciate you doing that.
Marty shows up with a 7 Series Beamer, and I'm freaking buying a Nickel Beer Night.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of those Friday nights, by the way, were Bladder Buster nights. You remember those?
Oh, but the fact that, Marty, you remember, one of the main reasons you came up was it was Halloween. And if you remember correctly, while we all dressed up, I walked downstairs in our little townhouse we had, and I said, Marty, what are you dressed up as? He just had, like, normal clothes on. And I said, Marty, what are you dressed up as? And what did you tell everybody?
I said, I'm a good-looking college kid.
He dressed up as a normal, but he said his outfit was a good-looking college kid. And if you guys don't remember, we could share this with those out there. Do you remember? I mean, I got arrested that night. Do you guys remember this?
I remember that.
And why, Jared?
Pee-wee, because you were dressed as Pee-wee Herman and you were supplying beer to...
I wasn't supplying beer to anybody. We had a keg of beer on our deck and there were underage children's coming around our party taking beer out of our keg. And so I got accused of providing alcohol to minors, while Jared, Marty, and everybody else hid inside and shut the door and left me out there because I happened to be the guy with the guitar around my neck playing guitar for everybody.
Remember too, we had Lenny Kravitz with us that night.
That's right. Shout James out to James Blake.
James Blake is Lenny Kravitz.
This is about as cool a story as the Roadhouse Brawl where you guys let me get my ass beat.
Oh, my God.
After that, dude, about somebody popped you a couple times.
Well, man, we could sit here all day and talk about all these crazy
stories. We really could.
We
could sit here for hours and hours.
And talk about all these stories. But I think, you know, just a few minutes left here, I think the main reasoning I wanted to intro you guys to those out there that are going to even take the time to listen to this new Good Company podcast that I have is that my life started having amazing friends and family like you guys. Jared being my best buddy, brother, and Marty, man, as much as you've done in your life and gone off and traveled the world and everything, and you living in L.A., and we still, I think you could admit and attest as well that we still keep in contact so much, and we do, no matter how far we've gotten.
I'm flying to see you on Sunday in Vegas.
That's right. You're flying on Wednesday to Nashville for the first time since you told me you were going to ask your wife to marry. You're going to come play my member guest at my golf tournament or at my golf club.
So after all these years, we still like each other.
That's right. So before we get out of here, and just because I love y'all's honesty, I want to ask you both something about me. So throughout the years, you've watched my career, and here I am. Believe it or not, I don't know if you guys are going to believe this or not, but 2 days ago, was my 12-year anniversary that I've had a record deal at RCA. Can you guys believe I've had a record deal for 12 years?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. But what I've always loved about you guys along the way is that I've sent you songs. I've sent you things to ask you your opinions, and I always love your honesty back. But so, Jared, if you don't mind me asking you, man, throughout my career, is there two separate questions? Number one, is there a song that I've ever released or put out there that you think was just terrible, that like was the worst idea, the worst idea ever that you think? And then also, is there something that you think I've done along the way in my career that you're really proud of, or that you think was a great move, just from your perspective? Because, you know, nobody will give you the honest perspective that your brother or your best friend would tell you. So I'm going to leave that out there, because I think people out there in the world would enjoy to hear that, because my ideas don't just stem from me, man. I don't just make the idea and throw it out there. I really do. I bounce it off my friends and family. And so, Jared, if you don't mind, man, if you want to answer those questions, is there anything out there that comes to mind?
Well, I don't think that there's a song out there that I thought that you did was just terrible, because I think if you took the initiative and the chance to put your heart and soul into it and release it out to the public to try to touch someone else, I think, you know.
Give him the real answer, Jared. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I've told him, you know, the songs I like, the songs I don't like. I gave him my opinion. He takes it pretty good, you know.
Well, who do you, Jared?
I'll tell you, Jake.
Most of the time, I'm right.
I listened just the other day, I was listening to that Y2 Country on XM Radio.
Right.
And Yeehaw came on. And I was like, man, this song, first of all, that was your first single, right?
Yeah, first single 12 years ago.
And it's so, that song is so not you anymore, you know, like your sound, I didn't like that song really at all. I'll admit it. And
well,
I'll tell you one that I wish you did, put out. One of my favorite songs you ever did was Setting the World on Fire. I love that song, and they never put it out or anything. So
you know who wrote that song?
I mean, I know you put it on a record, but
you know who wrote that song is Kip Moore. Kip Moore wrote that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's a good songwriter, because that was my favorite. That was probably one of my favorite songs you ever did.
Oh, he's a great songwriter.
Never, you know, besides the record, never saw the light of day on the radio, and I wish you did.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. I appreciate you guys saying that. I think that's what people don't know either, is that artists, you know, it's probably like your tennis career, Marty, and then Jared, you as well. I think we can all look back at our lives and careers and say there was a part of me then that wasn't exactly who I am now. I mean, I think that's part of growing in life. And yeah, I mean, at the time, to me, Yeehaw seemed like it. I mean, I was a kid who got a record deal. I couldn't believe it. I was out on tour with Kenny Chesney. I had a song on the radio. I mean, I heard it on the radio. So to have that song work, at the time in my mind, I was like, this is it. This is great. But now, yeah, you're right. Looking back on it, I'm not necessarily the yeehaw guy. I don't run around screaming yeehaw every day. But it took me time to get back to my roots of Florida and a lot of the stuff that's out now. But is there, we'll wrap this up here in a minute, but is there anybody out there now that you're loving their music and you're liking what they're doing? And is there, what about country music these days? Do you love and what don't you love?
I'll start first, Jared. I just downloaded that Old Dominion song.
They are great.
I love that, dude. I really like that.
Old Dominion is great.
Like I said, that Luke Combs, I'm texting Jared every other day about a line on that song. I've listened to that song about four times this morning. So I think he sounds like Blake Shelton a little bit. So I like his music.
That's cool. Jared's always been a huge Gary Allen fan. Jared loves Gary Allen.
Yep.
But, Jared, who are you into these days? Is there anything you love or anything you don't love?
Well,
we speak positivity around here. This is good company, all about positivity. So I'm not trying to knock anybody, but, you know, we're being honest. Is there anything you like or don't like or what?
Yeah, I'm with Marty on that. I like all the new Old Dominion stuff. I like Brothers Osborne. I think Dustin Lynch's new music's great. John Party. Even you mentioned Blake's new song called "I'll Name the Dogs" is a pretty catchy killer new song. I don't know if everybody's heard it yet, but that's a well-written song and pretty good. So, I mean, country music has obviously changed from, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. It just keeps growing, but growing, I think, in a different way, a positive way. People still enjoy it. Concerts are full. So as long as that happens.
Yeah, speaking of which, Jared calls me every other week to see if I get him tickets for whatever show's coming up. Jared texts me last.
What are you going to do, tell me no?
Yeah, right, exactly. Jared calls me last week. Hey, man, can you give me tickets to Florida Georgia Line? Call up BK, see if you can give me tickets. When is that? Is that this week, Jared?
October 14th.
All right, I'll see what I can do. I'll call up BK, dude, and get him to take care of you guys, BK and Tyler.
Yeah, if you can squeeze me into your calendar.
All right. Well, dude, you guys squeezed me into your calendar today, and you took 30 minutes to chat with me, and I appreciate it. I don't think there could have been a better way to just, you know, shoot the shiz and talk to you guys about life and everything. But
when do we get our radio Emmy?
Yeah,
we've obviously won something.
Can we do this podcast again and turn it into some kind of a like childhood roast?
Yeah, we could. I mean, if you guys are down for it, I kind of put you on the spot, but we'll let this podcast get a couple weeks in, and then maybe we'll revisit our conversations. We can come up with an idea for a topic.
We can figure out who was the fastest to run away from Kane Dog.
Who was the worst artist of all time? Hey, how about that picture I seen the other day, Marty? That car we drew in school was real.
Yep.
Marty was exactly a terrible artist. Like, we got Marty detention.
One quick story. Second grade, the teacher asked us to draw a shoe, and she's out for the day. So this is our plan. You know, this is what we have to do, our homework. And so we draw a shoe. She comes back the next day. I show my shoe. Josh laughs in front of the whole thing. The whole,
because it wasn't even a shoe, dude. It looked like it was terrible.
The teacher says, obviously you were screwing around when you did this. This was like my best picture I've ever drawn in my whole life. And I got detention for it because he was laughing at it. So she thought that I was screwing around the whole
Your time. Your mom was so mad. Sally was so mad about that. What about the time we shot the lady in the leg with a BB gun, dude? There's no way I could have shot that shot 3,000 times. Never got that lady.
3,000 times you could have shot that. Never hit that lady. We hid in our closet. Ugh. So funny.
That was funny. Dude, you guys crack me up. I love you both, man. And I really wish outside of even a podcast, we had time to really catch up like this more and more and talk about life and all the things that we love. Marty, you got a beautiful family with your wife and your little new, your girl, Stella. And
my anniversary today, by the way, with my 9 years with my wife.
Wow. Happy anniversary, man. Jared, you, for the ladies out there wondering, are you single and ready to mingle? Or are you locked down or what down there in Vero?
I am the most eligible bachelor in all of Southeast Florida.
Well, you guys heard it here first. Old J-Rod, he's got the insurance biz down there just gleaming. And so
look
he's
him up on Bumble.
That's right. Look him up on – hey, that was funny. We were in Orlando a couple weeks back. It's one of the girls there at the radio station yelled down the hall to Jared when she saw him. She's like, I saw you on Bumble.
Oh, my God.
Jared goes, well, why don't you Bumble yourself out of here then? That's crazy. Oh, man.
I told her farmersonly.com, I think it was.
Oh, my gosh. Well, dude, thank you guys for being a part of the Good Company podcast, the first one ever. I love you both dearly, and appreciate you always supporting me and everything that I've ever done. You guys have always been there for me, and I'll always be there for you. And look forward to seeing you, Marty, next week. We'll see you soon. And J-Rod, you got to come up too, buddy. Come see us.
No problem, man. Had a great time. I'll send you a bill.
Yeah. All right, guys.
J-Rod,
boy. All right, see you guys.
See you, pal.
Later, boys.
See you, buddies. Well, that does it for our podcast. We hung the phone up with my brother, my twin brother, Jared, and my best friend, Marty Fish, that we grew up with. Thank you guys so much for hanging with us. This is the first podcast of many more to come. We want to really focus Good Company around hanging out with good people, the people that make me laugh, as you heard on that one. I mean, we just were laughing. We could go on for days and days with the stories. But catch up with us in the weeks to come. I've got everything coming from possibly my grandparents, who will tell you the love story that they had for the 70-some-odd years they've been married. And we'll go from there. We got lots of cool people that are friends of mine that'll be on the show. And I really hope you guys can join us again. It's Good Company with Jake, and we shall see you soon. We'll see you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.